It's Film Week. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Hope you have a great weekend going. We've heard a little bit about movies that are worth your time. Now we turn our attention to the art of making movies. And someone who's had an extraordinary career in television, directing many, many episodes of television classics from Friends, 30 Rock, Scrubs, Roseanne. Quite the career in Hollywood as a television, primarily comedic director, but also doing episodic dramas. But she makes her feature directorial debut this week in a movie that we were just talking about, A Dog's Journey. We're going to talk with her about making that transition, also about being a real pioneer as a women's director in television. Gail Mancuso joins us, multi-time Emmy winner, multi-nominee for Emmy Awards, and our Film Week critic, Claudia Puig, joins us as well, president of the LA Film Critics Association, and, just importantly, former roommate of Gail's. It's another claim to fame, right?
That's my bigger claim to fame, for sure.
Gail, let me start with you. The transition to doing feature film. I mean, here you're someone extremely well known in the television community, and now you're making a feature film. Was it in any way like you're sort of starting over again? The fact that it is somewhat different than doing episodic TV.
You know, first of all, hi, Larry, and thank you for having me. And hi, Claudia.
Hi.
I miss you. It really was very, very interesting because it was a seamless transition for me. Because having done so much television, the wonderful thing about TV is that you get to practice your craft almost like every day. So episodic TV, like I do mostly comedies, you know, you prep for like 3 to 5 days and then you shoot for 5 days. So every week I'm on the set articulating direction to actors, working through story points, building characters, finding jokes, setting up shots. So making that transition to features was just seamless because it was just, okay, I'm back on the set.
Well, I wonder about just sort of if there's a different psychological approach. Because, I mean, one of the things about radio is it just goes out into the ether. You make a mistake, you kind of move on. There's a show the next day.
Yeah.
And I think of television, maybe not that much because people are watching these episodes years into the future. Nonetheless, the pace of television, I think of it as sort of less able to be perfected versus a film where you've got budget limitations and others. But still, you can go back, you can reshoot, I would think. Is that at all a little different of a psychological approach?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, look, I mean, it's history. You're making history with a feature, as well as with TV shows, too. But this is even more so. So I wanted to make sure that we were doing it absolutely right. And every, you know, in the editing room, I kept saying to my editor, Rob Komatsu, I'm like, okay, we're making history here. Big red letter day. Should we use the close-up or the wide shot? No. But it felt the whole process was very natural to me. And I think a lot of that has to do with I had wonderful support from Amblin and Universal and Holly Barrio and my producer Gavin Pallone, just amazing, talented people that really gave great notes and were collaborators. And I think, I don't know if that would be true on other films.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just seemed to be a really good first fit.
And I wonder about the control issue, because in television you've got showrunners, mm-hmm. who, you know, they have their Bible, and you've got actors that, if the series has been on for a while, have considerable clout and say as well. So you come in as the director, is that much more limited than doing a feature where you've got final say?
Yeah, I mean, that was like the best part of doing a feature, is because it is a director's medium, and so everything from the script, helping develop the script with the writers, all the way through the shooting process, all the way through the editorial, it's, you know, I just had a massive
must
say.
Must felt like,
yeah.
Wow, wish it was like this all the time.
Yeah, I loved it. I kind of liked it.
Well, you walked into a property that it already existed, too,
yes.
In the sense that there was this is a sequel to A Dog's Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I was wondering, my thought was, you know, your first film And you're doing what W.C. Fields said never to do, working with kids and dogs. How hard is, I mean, that must have been a challenge.
You know, it was, that's a great question. Well, first of all, I want to say about the sequel aspect of it. I wanted to make sure that this movie, A Dog's Journey, stood on its own, that you didn't have to see A Dog's Purpose to understand what was happening in Dog's Journey. So hopefully that happened. But once you did see this movie, that you would go back and see A Dog's Purpose, because that's a great movie also, of course.
But the working with animals and with kids, that's got to be a challenge.
Yes. Actually, I love working with kids. And really, there was only one child, which was Emma Volk, who was 2 years old. I got to take a sip of water.
All right. Claudia, let me, while she does that, let's talk about women in television, because Gail, you know, with all these, you know, many, many episodes of television she had done, we've talked about in the film industry, it's only recently that we're starting to see critical mass of women directing feature films. And you know, it's a long time coming.
I think films have been behind television in that regard. And it's really, that's a shame for films. But, you know, with the wealth, with the blurring of the lines between TV and film now, and with streaming services and all of that, I think, you know, there's going to be more mixing and going back and forth, which I love. And you see something like Queen Sugar that Ava DuVernay created, and then she has all these women directors coming in. That's, you know, they work in that. It's episodic. Then they go and work in films. So I think we're seeing much more going back and forth. What do you think?
I totally agree with you, Claudia, as usual.
it's the roommate thing.
And I think it's the roommate thing. But there's so many platforms now which you can get your material on, in terms of like Netflix, Amazon. There's, you know, so it's just a wonderful time to be a director. And you know, back when I started, there were 3, maybe 5 broadcast channels back in the black and white days. No.
And how many women were coming into the business at the time you started?
I could count on one hand. Now I can count on 2. No, maybe 3. But yeah, it was very, very limited, and also very little mentoring was done at that time. And now the tides have turned, and there's just a lot of programs out there, not only for women, but for diversity. And so we're seeing, this is a great time for all you young filmmakers out there, or old filmmakers, anybody who has a message and wants to do their own film. Now's the time to do it.
Well, we joke that, you know, virtually anybody, it seemed, get a, you know, Amazon to, you know, or Netflix to put money out to make something. But that's got to be a way of giving a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't have had a chance to do so. The other thing is, you can make an amateur film so inexpensively now that, in a way that you couldn't before. You'd have to go to film school in the past to get a camera and, you know, film and be able to make a movie. Now kids growing up can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how is that changing the business, Gail?
I think everything is for the better. I think it's great. I think, you know, people have their stories to tell, and they're able to tell it, you know, however they use, you know, YouTube or whatever, they put their material up. And you could still use that as part of your reel. Hopefully you'll still go to school and learn the craft.
So you think film school is important? Because some people, you know, Quentin Tarantino told me, he said, no, we think, you know, there's no more point in going to film school since anybody make a movie. That's all you needed film school for in the past, he said, have access to the...
Well, I think what's great about film school is that you get to work with like-minded people, and you can, and as a community, you're building your community, and you're helping each other out. And I think that's really important. I think the other important thing is just to have life skills and being able to enjoy and travel and meet, you know, different people and be part of different cultures and all that. I did want to get back to your child question really quick, if you don't mind.
I don't have time for it right now, but we'll have to come back to it later. You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC. Larry Mantle with Emmy-winning TV director Gail Mancuso, who this week, her feature directorial debut, A Dog's Journey, is out in wide release. She's directed such classic series as Friends, Scrubs, 30 Rock, Dharma and Greg, Modern Family, and many more. And our Film Week critic, Claudia Puig, also with us. Coming up, we're going to talk about women in film and television, and we welcome your calls, 866-893-KPCC, back in 1 minute. It's Film Week. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking with our Film Week critic, president of the LA Film Critic Association, Claudia Puig. And we're talking with noted television director Gail Mancuso, who's made her feature film directorial debut in The Dog's Journey, starring Dennis Quaid, that's out this week in wide release. And we're talking about Gail's journey as someone who's one of just a few women directing in episodic television from the early days of Roseanne and Friends and all these classic sitcoms, all the way up through the rebooted Roseanne as well. Two-time Emmy Award winner, multi-time Emmy nominee. And we're talking about the transition from television to film, as well as more women coming into both television directing and into feature film directing. If you want to talk about the increasing representation of women in film, we're at 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Okay, now we have a chance, Gail, to talk about working
Claudia's,
with animals. Yeah,
Claudia's question from before, which is so great. I was going to say, the other actress, there was Emma Volk, who was 2 years old, obviously a child, but Abby Ryder Forston played 11-year-old CJ.
She was great.
How great was she?
Yeah, she was a really good little actress.
Her first scene, and this is why I say she's an old soul. Her first scene was the scene where she came and went toe-to-toe with Betty on the sidewalk there and told her mom off.
And, about keeping the dog
yes,
and saying you've been a bad mother
yes,
and all that. Wow.
How great was
that
she?
Was
in
that was a really good scene. Yeah.
And in terms of your animal question, it was great working with the animals because we had wonderful, wonderful dog trainer, Bonnie Judd. And
just one dog trainer for all those dogs?
She was the main one, and then she had her whole team to help with all the other dogs. But she trains through positivity and really good reward system. So after every scene, everybody would break out in cheers. Yay, you did that. So it was like one of the happiest sets I've ever been on in my life.
What about the monitoring of animals? I know that's a big deal now.
Yeah.
So you had someone on set
all
the time whose first job is look after the animals?
Oh, someone's like we had a whole crew. So we, you know, being an animal lover myself, I have 5 dogs.
You were the perfect person to direct
I was
it.
The per-
yeah.
Was I not the perfect
person
to direct
it? But you had no break
it?
From dogs.
Well, the problem is that we shot out of, I was away from home, so I got my dog fixed on a daily basis because I miss my animals.
Those dogs are so cute. All dog lovers should see this.
I know. So we had APA represented on the set, American Humane Society. We had the dogs had their own security room to go from set to the trailer. We wanted
to
make sure.
Did they have their own personal assistants?
You know what? There was somebody giving them coffee. Yeah. And just but they were such.
Treats provided.
They were amazing, fun, and just happy, happy, happy dogs because they were in a happy environment.
As the first woman to win an Emmy for directing a comedy series, that was for Modern Family in 2013, you feel any sense of responsibility to women who are coming up in television as a result of having that honor? And how? What are the ways in which you try and respond to that?
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm part of many different organizations. I was part of the television. I was a governor on the Television Academy and went part of that internship program. There's a lot of programs out there that young students can apply to that help, you know, mentor them through like through shadowing and stuff. There's a great new program by NBC, NBC Female First, that I'm on the board of, and they have a wonderful program where, you know, thousands and thousands of applicants, you know, applied and very few get in. But the ones that get in get to actually not only shadow on a certain show, but they are actually guaranteed an episode to direct. It's the first of its kind. Jennifer Salke originated that program.
Are these young people coming out of film school?
They're anybody. There's commercial directors. They're just people that haven't done episodic or maybe just one episodic television episode.
But in some way, they would be able to display, they have the ability to direct an episode, even if they've never done it.
Yes, because you have to have a reel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the Directors Guild of America, they have a great program, a dynamic and diverse program that I'm part of also.
I would think that a lot of this is about women being in executive management positions
yes.
because not stereotype, but men necessarily notice the gender differences in representation. How much of a difference is made as more women are moving into these managerial positions?
Well, I think that's a great question because I think women will rise each other up. I mean, I think we need women who are in these managerial positions to help elevate new women coming into the business. And I think now that it seems like there is a more equal opportunity for women in managerial positions to do the hiring, I'm hoping to see more female directors coming up.
Claudia, as a film critic, what do you see as the difference in terms of not just women directors, but representation of women on screen? Do you feel as though that there's a broader array of women's lives that are depicted? And has that changed?
Slowly but surely it's changing. Not as quickly as we would like it to change. But I think when you have a woman director, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to get a more nuanced and dimensional portrayal. I would use as a negative example, perhaps Palms, of, you know, that we talked about it last week. It's not particularly the characters are very one-dimensional. But on the other hand, you know, when you do have a woman director, you oftentimes find women in lead roles, as your film was. It was really about a woman, a girl who grows up into being a woman and her dog. And I think it's just automatic if you are a woman director, you're going to want to see well-developed characters. And so I think, you know, I when you're talking about the NBC program, I noticed that, you know, Jen Salke being the head of NBC Universal, they have a lot of different programs. I was actually a juror on a diversity film festival, short film festival, and they draw those people, a lot of these short filmmakers, and they find, you know, they help them launch careers. So I do think, you know, having women in high places and in being able to green light makes a huge difference. And then not just having women as directors, but also producers, editors, writers, crew people, you know, that's still, we're way behind in that. I think last year only 8% of directors were women. And producers higher, 26%. Cinematographers, 4%. I mean, there's a huge
4% cinematographers are women.
Yeah,
that's the hardest area. I mean, when you're trying to, we have Rachel Morrison.
Yes, obviously, Rachel Morrison's wonderful,
fantastic.
But the fact that, you know, we can only name one or two people.
Does it seem at all that the women don't think of that as a field to go into, and more women need to be recruited into the pipeline, or what's going on with that?
I don't know. All of the above, mm-hmm. Because, I mean, because, you know, when even in television, you know, I'm looking for people in all different areas of the crew, and that seems to be the area, the camera department that is
resistant to the change.
Not resistant. I don't know if that's the word, but maybe the support system isn't in place yet. To have that.
All right. I want to thank you both for being being with us. Appreciate it. Gail Mancuso is the director of the new film, A Dog's Journey, her feature directorial debut. But she's a veteran hand when it comes to directing actors with episodic television, the first woman to ever win an Emmy for a network television comedy. She's worked on all the great series of recent years. Gail Mancuso and our Claudia Puig, Film Week critic, president of the LA Film Critics Association, former roommate of Gail as well. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope to see you for our next Film Week screening, Saturday, July 27th, Theater at Ace Hotel, downtown, the beautiful historic former United Artists Theater, Boogie Nights, Paul Thomas Anderson's film, 7 o'clock on that Saturday night. Tickets, kpcc.org/inperson.